tonight, we can discuss what are the easiest things about Krishna consciousness. Besides prasad, everyone will say that. But what are the things, okay, let's put it a different way. What are the things that you know you can do to keep yourself on track? What are the things you know you can do that, you know, will keep you in the groove? Now think about it. Just don't rattle things off. Yeah. I think I got to be more clear. Let's see.
Now. Did everybody can move up.
Well, ladies can sit on the couch to get you more room. So we're looking not just for you to rattle off answers. We're looking for you to give from your personal experience. I should be clear about that. Reach into your own personal life and think about the things in Krishna consciousness that help you to withstand Maya and they keep you on track in Krishna consciousness. So just don't rattle up answers like from a catechism. You know, just look at your life and see what has done what for you. So, try again now. Any of the ladies? Yeah.
There are several things for me.
This one.
Serving the community.
Serving the community of devotees.
Reciprocation.
I guess we should start asking for an example. Give us an example. What do you mean by reciprocation for those?
Well,
now you said it. Devotees appreciate what you've done. Say, Al Andreas will be doing good in the kitchen. Okay. And I'm going to see that. Maybe you're doing good in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Reciprocation from devotees. I mean, they just let you know that they know you're alive. It's a good point because a lot of times we forget that devotees do like to be appreciated and feel reciprocation. Sometimes we can really get impersonal, and because we're grappling with our own internal problems, we're trying to control our mind and senses, so we kind of just lose ourselves inside ourselves, you know, and we don't. We forget that just by reciprocating with other devotees and appreciating them, we'll help them and we'll also help ourselves. You notice that sometimes you get really locked into your own world of controlling your mind and senses, and so you forget how to deal with others. By showing appreciation for each other, you make everybody's life easier. That is a fact. experiences. Can you give an example of that? What can you do to appreciate it? That's true. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see that the devotees are always appreciating one another and speaking about the other devotees' qualities and activities. And you'll find that you'll become enlivened if you start to do that. But there's a tendency, I notice sometimes, that we become locked up in our own skulls. Our own internal world. And we forget to kind of stir the ocean. Stir the nectarian ocean of reciprocation and appreciation of other devotees. Has anyone noticed this in themselves and tried to change that? Who said yes? Can you give an example?
I find myself having so much fun. It's about, like I said, getting clues of what I'm doing. And I'm noticing that everybody behind me is doing the same, so it's not that I don't want to have it again. I guess it's not good. Appreciating it and having it's good for people. I tend to, like you said, get very lucky just for what I'm doing and my focus on Krishna. But I'm not kind of sort of visualizing what's happening in the middle of Krishna.
That Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that when you've seen the truth, when you've realized the truth, you'll understand all living beings are in Him and that they are His. So Krishna consciousness means you can deal properly with other people because you understand they're all part of Krishna. Now it's true, in the beginning, especially these days, people are coming from the pits of material existence, and you know they really got to spend some time scrubbing themselves. You know, when you're really dirty, and I don't know if you've done anything before and got real dirty. Maybe you tried to fix a car or paint your house or what? What do ladies do? They get real dirty.
Cleaning
the house. Okay. And the men, they like to crawl in their cars sometimes and try to fix them. So, or you've done some gardening or farm work, you get really dirty, so then when you take a shower, you got to really scrub. So you got to concentrate. Often it's like it in Krishna consciousness that when you first come, or also if you've been a little slack, even if you've been around for a while, at some point you've got to really concentrate on scrubbing yourself. Otherwise you become a liability to yourself and others. Now, normally, however, you should be able to clean yourself amidst others' cleansing process. This is what I want to say. You should learn how to use others to speed up your own cleansing process. That means you should learn how to take pointers from others and use that to stimulate your own cleaning. It's especially interesting to try to relate to devotees who are so different from you. Now, it's true that in material existence, generally you only hang out with people who think like you and do things like you. Isn't that so? Yeah. But what makes living with devotees difficult sometimes is that you're thrown together with people who are very different than you. They just don't do it your way. And you get angry sometimes. Now, instead of getting frustrated about that, what you can try to do is learn to see things from these different kind of devotees' viewpoints. It's actually very enlightening. Consider that this devotee is trying to serve Krishna. I'm trying to serve Krishna. So, what can I learn from this devotee's point of view? Or this devotee's way of approaching things? Way of approaching devotional service? Has anyone ever done that? Our usual tendency can be to kind of just, if the devotee, you know, does things different from me, then, you know, he or she's a hassle. But if you start to think that this devotee is trying to serve Krishna and he has a particular vision and methodology, way of doing things, so let me try to see that. Let's see what I can learn from that and how I can add to myself. By observing this devotee, you'll develop a great wealth of Krishna conscious experience. Like in this room, we have so many different types of devotees in terms of how they act, how they see things. Just from what I know, okay, so you have Bhakta Andreas here, who's very, very methodical. Everything goes like Swiss clockwork. So, everything is, has to be in its place. And then you have, let's say, Jai Garunga. Very soft and, you know, like an oversized teddy bear. So they're different. Now, how can both of them be serving Krishna according to their different personalities and ways? If we want to have difficulties, then let's say Andreas Kikovic saying, "Oh, this guy around me—he's just not precise enough. He's just not. You know, he just doesn't walk the straight line properly." And then Jai Garunga would say, "Well, this Andreas, he's just not, you know, he just doesn't give off enough warmth. He's just all straight edges. He's got no warm fuzziness to him." So, sometimes devotees do like that. Instead of thinking, okay, very interesting, for example, Jai Garunga could say, Bhakta Andreas, phenomena. He really is into doing things in an orderly way. Everything's very methodical. What an interesting way to serve Krishna. What can I learn from this? Or let's say Andreas could say, "Oh, this Jai Garunga, he's, you know, so soft and, you know, mellow and very congenial and friendly, you know, with people. Yes, I wish I should observe that and see how I can add to myself from that." So in this way, instead of kind of just getting abrasive because you're around so many devotees who are different than, from you, you can actually profit from it. And that way you take advantage of the great wealth of the association of devotees. How many of you thought about this kind of thing before? One, two. Any of the ladies you ever thought about this before? Sarah, do you think about this? Huh?
I thought about the problem of the river, the solution.
It's a fact. Don't you think, Sarah, in the material world you try to associate with people who think the way you do and do the things the way you do? Now you're thrust in the middle of all these kind of persons who they just don't do it your way. So what to do? You freak out? Cry out or loop out or what do you do? What was your solution? Yeah.
Help.
Oh, you're in the process of hearing the speech now. Okay. What you going to say, Andrew?
It's a good question. I'm just going to person. I have experienced this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes,
from my
point of view, perhaps it can seem that the devotee has some mixed sense gratification tendency in his service, and that can be true.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, let's say, cooperate. What then? What to do? Should we appreciate it?
Well, like Chanaka Pandit said, you can take gold even from a not so pure place. And, you know, everybody's got something good about them. So if we start to see how devotees are serving Krishna in their special way meaning it's not like us. Every devotee has some unique contribution to make for Krishna's service. The important thing is not so much the devotee's style, but how much bhakti is there, how much sacrifice is there. Like maybe I can speculate about the lady. You have Sarah, who seems to be very effervescent. How do you what's the word? Yeah, that would, you know. Yes, public. And then you have Ingrid, who's, you know, very quiet. Or is that just my imagination? You know what I'm saying? So, how can a devotee think? Such and such devotee is always bubbly. Such and such devotee is always quiet. What are the advantages of that? How Krishna is being served in that way. Rather than, I don't know how long I can just be here. I mean, there's people around me, they're just not like me, you know? Look at that one, she's quiet all the time. Look at that one, she's bubbly all the time. I never hung out with people like this in my neighborhood. Nobody in my family was like that. You find yourself thinking like this sometimes?
Yeah.
Who said yes? Oh.
That's all I did when I first came here.
What did you do?
I was just picking her up. Why doesn't he smile? Why is he so serious? And I was just wondering all these personalities that are amazing.
So now what is your
conclusion? I was wondering where I came in.
Now what is your conclusion?
Now I just realized that, as you said, that Krishna has a purpose for everyone here, and that each personality fits that purpose.
So what is important is not so much the particular style that you have. What is important is the sacrifice by which you're using that style to serve Krishna. We're stressing bhakti, bhakti yoga. That means rendering loving service to the Lord with affection and sacrifice. When that becomes most important, then you can see how all these different personal characteristics fit into place. So anyway, we've been discussing reciprocation with devotees, how to take advantage of association with devotees. How many of you go out of your way to try to learn from somebody who's different from you? Anyone who does that? Raise your hand. Only Andreas and me. over here. Who? Andrew. Adrian. I know. Yeah, that's a way to enrich your life. Let's say you're feeling weak and you see somebody who's determined. You try to imbibe or take on their qualities. In this way, you profit from the association of devotees. Otherwise, it can seem to be a bit of a hassle, can't it? Associating with devotees? Inconvenient, you know? Living in the ashram, you know? You're like thrown into this pot of all different types of persons. And it's not like it. It's not like when you had your own apartment, your own house, you know? Now you're just thrown into this pot. All these different types. It's a gym. Well, you can either let it rub you the wrong way and just long for when you're going to get out. Can't wait to get out of the ashram. Start looking around, who's going to be my ticket out of here? Can you help me get out of the ashram? Will you be my ticket to freedom? We can make a nice house together. Krishna in the center. And nobody else around. We'll take the best of Krishna consciousness, make our little world, and we'll stay away from all the bad things of Krishna consciousness, the other devotees. Well, better than having that kind of attitude is to appreciate that there are inconveniences and austerities living with devotees, but also there's a great opportunity to learn so much. Especially in an environment in which you don't have to worry so much about paying the rent and paying the mortgage and this and that. You know, you can just really simplify your eating and sleeping. A lot of you are living in the ashram, you may have forgotten how much of your daily endeavor previously was simply for eating and sleeping arrangements. How many of you think about that sometimes? Any of the ladies think about it? Ingrid, do you think about that? You raise your hand? Yeah? Any other ladies?
Yes, you
think of it?
Well,
no, not now, but it
definitely
was
very close to me
when I was not really close. Yeah.
Being new here.
Yeah.
I know that way, and it feels so good.
Yeah.
To be here and to be.
Yeah, because you know what it's like to slave just to eat and sleep, right?
That was my life.
Yeah. These, a lot of these folks here, they've forgotten this. I don't know how good they have it.
That's funny.
Just, you can imagine, you got to work, you know, so many hours a day, just, you know, because you want to, you know, you need a place to sleep and, you know, a table to eat on and, you know.
And not the reinforcement of having a community where you can reinforce the feel within you. You know, it's harder to do it on your own in the island after here. You know, if someone has a problem waking up early, or if another person wakes up early and that's really easy to them, then we kind of help each other. And we help each other with the things.
Now I know what some of you are thinking, hearing her say it. What's some of you thinking? Come on, we're going to be honest. Michelle.
Yes.
How many thought like that? Be honest. Raise your hand. Come on, Sarah. Raise your hand. She's new. You know, she's feeling that euphoria of, you know, novelty, but soon, you know, the reality is going to descend on her. But what she's saying is correct. Which brings us to another subject. How to stay fresh in Krishna consciousness. How to keep from getting dry and stale and cynical. Now, of course, someone would say that it's not that everyone... What is your name again? Sorry. Pamela. It's not that every devotee Pamela is going to come across is capable of helping her in her spiritual development. Yeah. some devotees have problems, and you know, their association isn't very beneficial. So, rather than say that Pamela, you know, she's just new and she's got to wake up and get real and understand this is all going to wear off the Shikori, what you should think is that in time she'll develop discrimination and judgment so that she can take advantage of the proper things in Krishna consciousness and she'll be able to recognize the improper things. You're like living in a hospital, family, and you know, there are good patients and bad patients. At first, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we may think that everybody's following the doctor's instructions. But no, like any hospital, you know, there are patients who are very strict and a lot of slack patients. So, what you should think is not that Pamela's got to become cynical. You should think that Pamela just will, she'll add maturity to her enthusiasm. How many of you have thought about this thing about remaining fresh in Krishna consciousness? So, Vijay, what adaptations have you made to accomplish that purpose? I think I said in class there's one very nice verse in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam in which the Prachetas, they're praying to the Lord, or the Lord is actually telling the Prachetas that the super soul within the heart makes the activities of the devotees ever fresh. The super soul in the heart allows the devotees to perceive constant freshness in their activities. Because the Lord is pleased with them. So, any others? Vijay said by constant prayer, praise to Krishna to maintain the, so he can maintain his fresh realizations of Krishna consciousness. Anyone? Yeah. Try reading, hearing and chanting. You seek to maintain the freshness. The freshness is there, but it's our vision that gets stale. Krishna is eternally fresh. He's Navayovana, eternally youthful. But our vision, when it gets infected by the modes of material nature, we see staleness and the same old thing. Any ladies, what do you do? What's your secret? How to keep your freshness in Krishna consciousness? Yes?
Besides your given service that you have to do, find some extra little service or something that you like.
No, don't say it. Say it as you feel. That you like.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a start. That's a start. We're not knocking it. But you, I'm sure you can see that as the relationship deepens, that you'll understand that besides looking for things you like, you'll start looking for things that the person you serve likes. Right?
Yeah.
But in the beginning, you're trying to, you know, satisfy your senses. And you're understanding that if you concentrate on satisfying Krishna's senses, your senses will automatically be satisfied. That's not so, that understanding is not so deep in the beginning. Because your senses are really toasted and fried and broiled from so many lifetimes of material existence. So you really can't get it into your head that if I just think about Krishna's senses, I'll be taken care of. It seems inconceivable. Because for many births, you've been struggling to satisfy your senses. So it's hard for you to get that out of your system. You even have fear. If I stop struggling to satisfy my senses, what will I do? What will happen to me? One major theme we always like to talk about is how current society has turned people into cats and dogs. You don't say, Prabhupada would tell us that expression, polished animals, but now you don't use that anymore because there's no polish. That's gone. All palace is taken away. People have no shame today. You notice that?
Yes.
No shame. Alright. Who else can say what you do to keep your freshness in Krishna consciousness? So keep you from thinking, oh, it's the same thing every day, the same place, same beach, same books, same people. Yes?
Definitely
find
time to push the comfort zone.
Push the comfort zone?
Gain more determination to not be too comfortable.
Not be too comfortable. What do you think? I put some tacks in your bed? Or
I know, just by yourself.
Well, how do you know? You gotta be more graphic, you know? Yeah. Descriptive.
Yeah.
Something out of the normal.
Yeah, do things that are challenging. You can't be so complacent. Yeah. You can't, like say, not see the services the same every day, but you may have the external symptoms of like the same time, the same place. That's external.
That's, okay, the airport. How do you get out of, how do you avoid thinking the airport's just the same thing every day? What do you do? Give us your tips.
Yeah. You get all different types of people coming to the airport every day. And most of the time, it's uncomfortable to approach certain types of people, like businessmen. They're very hard types to stop and talk to them and give them a look. Sometimes I try to approach those kind of people throughout the night. These are the old things that affect the world. And that's definitely trying to, like I said, come out of the comfort zone of sleeping with them.
Right. So you're constantly trying to expand your service. You're trying to expand your abilities in serving Lord Chaitanya. That's nice. Understanding that you've got a long future of serving Krishna as your eternal constitutional position. So you have a long future. So therefore you try to grow in Krishna's service. That's very good. Any of the ladies? Ingrid, what is your secret? How do you keep everything fresh and Krishna conscious? Okay, well, that's the negative. Well, how is that done positively? How do you act in bhakti, unmechanically, non-mechanically? To what? Meditating on Krishna's enjoyment. And you find by doing that, your vision of devotional service is fresh. I'd like to. I don't know, you didn't like the giving and receiving of prasad. So by doing that, you found that it keeps your devotional life fresh. Anyone else? Michelle? Can you give us an example? What are you down now to? 9 hours?
What are you down to that? What are you up to now? 2 a.m.? Huh?
3.
3 a.m.
And how is that produce freshness in your bhakti life? What, in other words, by getting up at 3, what does that allow for you? You like that? You like to chant and study in the morning? How many of you like to do that, chant and study in the morning? Raise your hand. How many have yet to experience whether you like that or not? Raise your hand. Raise your hand, please. How many have yet to experience that? Sarah, you didn't raise your hand for either category. So, yes, certainly rising early in the morning, taking full advantage of the Brahma Muhurta hours, those special hours in the morning, definitely will keep freshness in your devotional life. Everybody knows as soon as you start getting up late, then the day really becomes stale. Hopefully no one here has had that experience, but everybody knows. Start getting up late, morning after morning, and the day really becomes a drag. Anyone here had that experience? Can you tell us what it's like, Rupert? Someone else? Bobby, you had it for me. Who's had it?
I experienced that the like you said, you know, the day gets stale, and more specifically, you know, I experienced that my rounds, I'm not able to chant attentively, that I don't pay attention when I'm chanting my rounds, and that when I go on Sankirtan, that I don't do some of the books.
Anyone else with techniques for keeping fresh? Yes?
Nice relationship with each and every devotee. As possible, as much as possible.
Just the Brahmacharya? Each and every devotee, I'm inquiring, you know?
Yeah,
huh?
Yes.
The Brahmachari sees the ladies as mother. Our Prabhupada also said, when you see the ladies, you can think, these beautiful gopis are meant for Krishna's pleasure. So that's having nice relations with everyone. Not that when the Brahmachari see the ladies, Maya. they should think, please. Beautiful gopis there for Krishna's service. So, can you give us some specific methods by which you try to have nice relationships with the gopis?
I can just come in my mind. I also like to just go to my service. So many young people.
For keeping freshness. C. Deidre, what is your technical word for it?
Tratar de...
In English.
Put my heart more into what I'm doing. To put more.
So when you're in the restaurant, you're just being friendly with the people, trying to keep them, try to make them happy by coming to Krishna's place. And
yes.
Be very, very clean. Rather than just, oh, here I go, another day at the restaurant.
Yes.
What a boring service I have, serving and cleaning.
I say my mind that, okay, I have the service, so either I like it or I don't like it, I have to do it. So I better think that I like it, so I have to do it anyway.
Be a nice
Rodney to do it. And it really not, it just comes naturally to really, I like it. Sometimes.
Well, what else do you think you could be doing?
To learn more, how can I relate more with the bodies? First, it's kind of difficult for me to relate more with the bodies.
Why? Why is it difficult?
Because it was all the time been a problem for me to relate to other people.
What's wrong with them?
Nothing wrong. It is my nature.
And I think I'm going to just on this point. First of all, I'm going to sometimes shame of my nation.
Very shy.
Shy nature.
Shy.
Maybe also kind of the condition of humans.
Alright, let's do it. How many think he's shy? Raise your hand. How many think he's shy? One might if you raise your hand. But it's a good point, you see? That's why it's nice being with devotees. The things you think so much about yourself. I'm so shy. Then you ask a room full of devotees, and you know, one out of 30 says you're shy.
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to say? Do you agree that you're not shy?
No, I ain't shy.
He's really serious? He just goes on, you know?
I see some good things and some characteristics. For example, what I'm under, I'm a Kisrava. I like him so much because he felt
New Zealand. It's like saying someone from Canada is American. They don't like it.
He knows so much about this inner community and this technique.
He got you fooled, huh?
Dr. Bali, actually, in my life I was very young English. Now I'm in America, I can just tell you know that. Sometimes I try to do this, sometimes I don't. And I find so much good point to talk about. He really worked about it. He's very clean. I'm very respectful. He sometimes chastises me. But
This is an example, you know? We think something about ourselves and everybody thinks something else. That's why it's what's good about the association of the Bodhi.
I can give an example about myself. I was talking with some of my godbrothers and I thought, I'm very quiet, and I'm very, very mellow.
You are intense.
I never,
in a good way, I never thought of myself as, being intense, though. I always imagined I was very quiet and mild-mannered, The giant says, no, but that's not, I know. This is mild-mannered, quiet, So many devotees, they tell me, you're very old, Yudhishthira were bold like you. I said, old? I'm just very quiet and mild, mild-mannered and, tepid and, A lot of times we have, we like to see ourselves in a certain way, but, it's actually not like that. Not necessarily, it doesn't have to be falsy, though. No, it just... Sometimes it's humility. A devotee naturally feels that, I'm not serving Krishna very well. That's how a real devotee thinks. Others may see differently, serving Krishna so nicely, but a real devotee is thinking, I'm not serving Krishna very well at all. So it's not simply false ego, it can also be humility. But I'm pointing out the positive. A devotee is humble, and so a devotee never thinks, I'm serving Krishna so nicely. In other words, we shouldn't always just stress the negative, it's always positive. It's like you were thinking of yourself maybe as being shy, because you thought, well, I'm not very... assertive in terms of serving Krishna, but all the devotees they saw differently. That they saw differently didn't mean they thought you were puffed up or hiding, they just thought actually you're very direct in serving Krishna. But you thought you're very shy, it didn't mean that this was false ego, it just meant that humbly you were thinking, I'm not very effective in serving Krishna. But the devotees they saw something different, yes. He's always tuned in, he's always focused. He's always pushing ahead to serve Krishna's interests. Well, that is my point. This is a paradoxical thing about bhakti, that a devotee who's Krishna conscious doesn't think he's very Krishna conscious. Now, this is kind of strange consciousness, because in the material world, you know what you are, you think. Yeah, I know I'm good at this, I know I'm And you're supposed to be like that. Even if it's just a bluff, you're supposed to be like that, to convince people you're a competent person. Anyone with recent experience in the material world can verify that. You've got to always, put on that you know things. Yeah, I'm good at that. Yeah. Been there, done that. Isn't that what you have to do when you're beginning relationships with people in material existence? Sarah, isn't that so? You got to put on the, yeah, I know this, I know that, and I'm experienced. Oh, the worst thing that you can be these days is inexperienced. You gotta present yourself as, you're on top of everything. You've had it all, you've done it all, you've been there, done that. Then you're known as a full person. But everybody fears being labeled as an inexperienced person. You got fired one time?
Oh, yeah.
Well, if you follow Krishna's instructions, he'll never fire you. You've got eternal employment with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Alright. Everyone's thinking, how long will she continue like that? Yeah. Well, she can go on like that. Why does she have to change? Which brings us to our last point. When people come and they have this new, fresh attitude, what is it that often diminishes that attitude? It's not that Krishna consciousness grows stale. It's that we make offenses. And our offenses dull our sensitivities, dull our spiritual sensitivities. Offenses to the holy name, offenses to devotees, these things make our spiritual life dull. But it's not that spiritual life is dull, but because of our offenses, things get dull. And a prime way, we can talk about this in the coming nights, a prime way that we make our spiritual life dull is by offensive chanting, inattentive chanting. So perhaps we can talk about that in the last two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll talk about why we can't chant Hare Krishna properly. What are the effects? We'll see if we can get a bit of revolutionary zeal in you all to dedicate yourself to nice chanting. All right. Alright, everyone ready for our nightly discussion? You're all animated and alive and ready to say something? I know you're shy and it'll be hard for you. Now you're famous. Okay. Yeah. Tonight we want to discuss, we want to hear from you. Now think about it. Just don't give me mechanical answers. You know what? You notice when you give mechanical answers that things kind of get stiff and unenlivening. But as soon as everyone really says something that they really feel genuinely, then things start to click. Everyone feels enlivened. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says that his devotees, they derive great satisfaction by discussing Krishna and Krishna's service. Krishna also likes that. So let's try to utilize each other, use each other in the best way, or stirring the pot of nectar. How we are in Krishna consciousness trying to do things. Please think about things. But I want to ask you tonight, what do you envision of yourself? How do you see yourself being, let's say, 5 years from now? a long time. 5 years. So, what do you see? Or what do you want to see? Or what do you think you'll probably see? Well, think about it. See changes? Or do you see development? Do you see obstacles? Do you see a decline? That could be the first answer. Terrence, you ready?
I see some obstacles. But, I don't think it's too much to worry about, as long as I keep it focused.
Can you be specific? Is it possible? What obstacles do you foresee?
Better not say too much.
Well, I mean, there's certain general things in everybody's life. It's not like, you know, certain options, and it's not like life is that mysterious, you know. This is what I'm trying to deflate, this illusion that life is really unique and special, and no one knows what you're going through, and no one is thinking the same thing, and we all got different problems. That's why you can't talk to anybody, you know. And
well, maybe it's the fact that at some point I hope to be doing something a little bit different in the Christian consciousness. That I feel more like maybe doing some art.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly a great place for art in Christian consciousness. Los Angeles in the 70s was the art headquarters. Prabhupada books were coming out then. So many artists were here. You still see one in the morning. It was here in the 70s. Charvapasa. Yeah, he was one of the artists in the 70s. So, there's no doubt that art has a great place in Krishna consciousness. And certainly, we can prepare for what we might want, how we might want to serve Krishna by purifying ourselves. I was speaking in to Krishna Babu's place. Was that what section is that? Yeah. And we had a Hollywood movie producer there, and I was telling him that he has a great responsibility as an artist because he's affecting people's consciousness. Yeah, he really had to think about that because he just thought, you know, hey, I'm having a good time, I'm giving them a good time. Yeah. You know, and so what more can there be? He's very proud of his latest smash hit that he was getting together called Booty and the Beast. B-O-O-T-Y. So, you know, so we were explaining to him that he would have to take reactions for, you know, polluting people's consciousness with all this, you know. He had the slogan for the movie all made. He can't hide the wolf inside. Yeah. He was supposed to enliven the people, you know. And then it had a picture of him, you know, the movie producer, you know, his face with a wolf's nose and mouth. So we're explaining to him that art is a very weighty thing, and he's affecting people, and so he's got to think what's the best way he can affect people. Art in Krishna consciousness, like anything else, requires purity. Krishna consciousness, poetry, painting, song, all this requires a pure heart. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll see it's the height of artistry. It's exquisite. the moods, the language, textures. It's just a, it's nothing more suburban material. The artistry of Chaitanya's work. The drama. So many verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita are from dramas, because Rupa Goswami would write dramas. So, preparation to achieve a goal is a good thing. I remember when I was here in L.A. in 70, starting in 75, I saw a letter from Prabhupada, because I was handling all his letters, and he was saying that if you can just, he was speaking in general, not to anybody in particular, general instruction. If you can study Srimad Bhagavatam and learn it well, you can go all around the world and people will respect you. So I thought, well, that sounds, you know, pretty interesting to, you know, to preach Bhagavatam all over the world. So you had to start learning it sometime, so I began. That was my artistic goal. So I had to put in some years of preparation. Of course, it did help having a service in which I had to read Prabhupada's books 12 hours a day. That was my service, you know, working on the literary aspect, you know. So I took advantage. But I had this goal. Well, similarly, if we have the goal that we want to, I suppose you were meaning you want to do Krishna conscious art. Yeah. So that takes preparation. Problem is these days, as I spoke in class a few days ago, no one wants to sacrifice to achieve anything. It's either I get it now or forget it. No one wants to undergo any austerities to reach a goal. I think some days ago I was speaking with Sarah and explaining where you spent how many years at university?
Four.
To graduate. So, you know, that involves certain sacrifices, doing things you didn't want to do to achieve the goal. But why can't we have the same attitude about Krishna consciousness? We're so hasty. And we're trying to do the most important thing. We're trying to purify ourselves and reestablish our spiritual identity. Anyone else? Lady? What do you see yourself as in 5 years? Come on, all the ladies say it at once. In 5 years, you're going to be living in the ashram. Still. So, and you?
Able to read the book, so I'll be able to talk intelligently and from the heart, you know, balancing it.
Well, the other ladies are definitely looking at you. You're new.
Well, I know.
No, but you can keep this attitude. You don't have to lose it. It's, you get, water seeks its own level. You get what you want in Krishna consciousness. So if you want this, you sacrifice for it, you'll get it. With Krishna's help. You have to have the right association also. If you associate with weak devotees, you'll be weak.
So I have a card to give to you because I have your instruction along those lines.
Okay. Alright, so you've kind of done the, you know, having your home or your, you know, your own dwelling before, right?
Everything.
Right.
It just doesn't.
May I ask, what is your age?
48.
48, so. Alright, but for these, you know, younger ones here, you know, they're having to go through that phase, you see. You've already been through it.
But they're already out there distributing the
books. Some of them. So try to understand that, you know, you're past a certain biological phase, but they're, you know, they want to head into that. So therefore, right, it makes sense for you to say like that. In 5 years from now, I want to be exactly where I am right now.
Yeah, no, I can only speak for myself.
Yes. Anyone else? Where will you, what do you see yourself at in 5 years? Whether you like it or not, or what would you like to see? How many of you actually think about this? Raise your hand. But it's something you don't want to talk about today. Okay, let's get factual now. We'll stir it up a bit. If things go the way they usually go, in 5 years, at least 75% of you all will be married. If things go the way they usually go. I'm sure some of you are thinking like that, but you know, you don't want to say because... You don't put your cards on the table too quick, you know. Yeah.
And there's, of course, it's very difficult. The people are married when they're divorced. The wars go on, or whatever. It's a dragon, you know. I was born when I was.
Okay, so what is your vision of yourself in 5 years?
Well, hopefully, I'll be free from these anarchists that are pissing the world every day. Constantly getting worse.
So you're making plans to do that?
That would be nice.
But you're making plans to do that. Okay. Alright. That's a lady's turn. Sarah, how do you see yourself in 5 years? In the ashram.
with more firm faith in Krishna consciousness without. Every once in a while, things coming into my head, what are you doing here? But by the time 5 years comes around, I'll just know 100% that there's nothing.
Well, do you plan on working for that goal? Have you ever worked for something in your life? For what for?
Well, college.
Right, so? Can't work for bhakti yoga. And what about your circumstances? No one wants to talk about their personal circumstances. You see yourself as being like single in 5 years? No. That's all right. I mean, these things are going on. What's the big deal, you know? Why is everybody like... Okay. Fine. Statistics will bear you out. Like that. So she has this goal. She really wants to. She says she wants to understand Krishna consciousness fully, and she's prepared to work for that. Sacrifice a little bit. Okay. Anyone else? Who wants to say something?
Yeah. Just around the side. I will do it in 5 years. I
Say it again. You don't see
that. I don't think I will be Ramachari. But anyway, I'm trying to try to serve the miracles. Expand to more devotees, to make the net more dense, and more people can escape from the mercy to them.
That's nice. You see, he has some idea what he wants to do. There's nothing wrong with it. This is what I'm trying to, this is why I'm doing this exercise. So you see, there's nothing wrong in trying to think in Krishna consciousness what you're going to be like in 5 years, and there's nothing wrong with saying it. So he's saying that in 5 years, most likely, you know, he's going to be Grihastha. What's wrong with that, you know? It's four ashrams, you know? Statistically, that's what happens to most people, so it's just a question of whether he'll be a good one or a bad one, you know? So, you know, it's like, you know, everybody shouldn't be so hung up, you know? Can't tell. Can't say. The men act like if they say that, you know, immediately, you know, that, you know, some woman's becoming vamp on them or something, you know? God, you know, what's the big deal? You know? It's just, it's, you know, everything has a way of being done in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness lifestyle is actually an art. So, you know, it's not such a big deal. There are four ashrams. They're all meant for glorifying Krishna, serving Krishna. So the men shouldn't feel that, you know, they have to hold up their guard, hold their pride, never tell, never admit. You should honestly deal with your life. And in fact, if you're going to be Grihastha, Brahmacharya life is the best preparation. So what's the big deal? Why all these neuroses, you know? Brahmacharya life, what does Prabhupada say in the Bhagavatam first canto about Brahmacharya life? Who remembers? He says it's the best, it's the training. The Brahmacharya life is the training for both the attached and the unattached. And Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate that whether you're a sannyasi or a grihastha, you can both spread Krishna consciousness. That is the important thing. Alright, one lady. Michelle, what do you see yourself 5 years?
I see my greatest treasure in Krishna.
That means, was that, can you be more specific? No.
I see myself as a modern man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's honorable. How many? Okay. Well, Lord Chaitanya was happy to hear. What devotee was a Shivananda saying? You know, he told Lord Chaitanya, you know, this, you know, new addition to the family. Lord Chaitanya was, you know. So you see yourself basically in a home situation with some expansions and, you know.
Wasn't it in the early days, like the 70s, a lot of grihastha couples actually opened up temples and they actually let it preach it?
Still now?
Yeah.
Well, you have mainly, basically have grihastha couples running this place here.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like you were saying, it's not such a bad thing for people to admit.
Nothing is bad if used in Krishna service. Problem is when it's not used in Krishna service. I mean, certainly we have to be objective and say that if you can go it alone, it does make life easier, because you're going to end up alone anyway. But, you know, from one side you could say, why should I enter into something that I only have to give up later? But if you use that household ashram as a transit place for purification, to reach another goal, then? So that's why I'm trying to get you all to think about life as a progression. Life is a series of decisions. And life is also what happens while you're busy making plans. It's a combination of both those things. Anyone else? So you didn't say what you see yourself as in 5 years.
I hope I can get rid of some of these anarchies in my heart. You know, hopefully I can actually purify myself so I can...
Okay, but can you...
More specifically, I would say...
How do you... give us a picture of what you're going to look like, your circumstances in 5 years.
Hopefully to increase my book distribution. Distribute more books. Being able to...
We're on the beach in Miami, or...?
Specifically, I don't know. But I guess I would say it's within the universities or in what I'm doing now, hopefully. Being able to engage in Christian consciousness.
Still, you got a little specific for a while, then you got cloudy again. You mentioned something about university.
Yeah, actually, because that's where I kind of met the buddies, was on the university level. So starting like more centers on the university level, meeting people that are...
You know, so you see yourself trying to do college preaching in 5 years, is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. Somehow or other.
Yeah.
You see yourself, what, attending university or just going to university to preach or what?
Well, I thought about actually going to university, but it would be a nice avenue to preach in university level.
Something like that? Ladies, turn. Veronica, you going to say something?
I'm trying to, 5 years, I hope to see myself at a job where I can work part-time and spend more of a percentage of time here at the temple to serve as them.
So that's your goal.
This is my goal, to get rid of the responsibility, financial responsibility, so I can be more free to my family. Thank you.
To get more knowledge, I can preach.
So that's your goal, that you see yourself doing that. And you're going to take the steps to do that?
Yes.
So when you look ahead 5 years from now, you see yourself like having more knowledge. Making trips to South America to reach fish ponds. You have to bring your wife. All right, whose turn? Ingrid, you were about to say something? You don't think about it. Well, what would you like to see? Death, you said.
For that.
Yeah.
can go so nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I can put that up.
How old are you now?
My plan is to have...
How old are you?
29.
29? Good. Ah, okay.
So, my plan is... Maybe, I don't know, so that I want to stay with someone else with my family and somewhere in some place and help him to develop some preaching center and to, you know, then after that, I want to go to Vrindavan even more because get inspiration and all the blessings of all of them, and then go back home.
Yes.
Then I want to.
What city?
Warsaw. I was enjoying that. Then I left to Warsaw. So, yeah, then I want to go to Poland and I want to develop more Harinam. Mm-hmm. Because we are doing Harinam once a week or something. So I want to have some more people. The hope is to go right now, 2 days a week, every day, and make nice equipment, a nice plane, and go into the gardens and attract people in this way, meet the system, the table, the purpose of this, and something like chanting and dancing as much as you can, also doing equipment services.
Okay. So you see yourself doing that in 5 years. Alright. Who's next? Leah, what do you see yourself doing in 5 years? Yeah, that's fair enough. In other words, what you're saying is right now you're not quite clear, but you're taking up the process by which things can become clear.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, anyone else? Any other ladies we missed back there? What is your name?
Varshana.
So what? What is your 5-year vision? How do you envision the circumstances of your life in 5 years?
I'd like to be writing for a little bit.
How would you see yourself? Most ladies, you know, they're thinking, you know, maybe you're already married or also thinking that will be in the future, or you're not?
No, I want to have devoted children.
Okay, all right. Obviously, that's a major goal, right? Okay. So you're already married? Or? All right, so then also that entails some other things. So that's part of the future plan, yes? Okay. See, I'm just trying to get you to talk about things which everybody knows is on the table, but, you know, want to kind of pretend like, you know, kind of ashamed or, you know, this barrier and, you know, it's no big deal. So once I think we can just reveal these things, you see that people, are, you know, as devotees aren't that different. only certain options that you have, you know, basically. Are you going to be single? Are you going to marry? You know, will you have kids? That you know, the Vedic Varnashram system is very practical. Now, if you're going to be single, you got to work on that. If you plan on being single all your life, you really got to work on that. And if you plan to be married, you got to work at that. Plan on raising kids, definitely got to work at that. So, our point tonight is just to get you to see that you can push your life in a certain direction. You're not completely powerless. I hate it when devotees just, you know, just act so, how should I say, act like they, you know, they're not in the driver's seat of pushing on their little life for Krishna's pleasure. Some room for self-determination you have. So you should have some goal and do the things necessary to achieve that goal. Don't be wimps. I remember when I was a book distributor, I had this goal, I think I mentioned the other night. My goal was to feel at home on Sankirtan instead of feeling like it was, you know, such a battle. I wanted to feel completely natural. Just like, you know, go out there and just like, you know, it was just a natural thing. Not like you're tensing up and okay, now you go out there and, you know. No, I just wanted to, you know, just walk around like a fish in water, you know. That was my goal. So, the other goal I already told you that the Prabhupada said you can learn Bhagavatam, you can go anywhere in the world and preach. Anyone else? Yes.
Maharaj, I'm finding that as I go on my book distribution, you know, somehow or other, you know, I think that I'm getting a little bit of taste for it. And, you know, I know for a fact, I don't know, maybe this sounds puffed up, but I know for a fact that that I do appreciate, I know factually, you know, from reading Srila Prabhupada's books, that, you know, he saved me from the abominable situation that I was in before joining the movement, and that, you know, what to speak of, you know, going to hellish planets and existing eternally in material conditions. And, you know, so I feel like I've developed, you know, some desire to, you know, to try and pay Srila Prabhupada back for that and serve him and gain taste for the book distribution. But at the same time, you know, I also have, you know, desire to be married. And I know it's already been brought up once tonight. But this
at least once.
I mean, specifically with Noah Prabhu, you know, he was bringing up about how in the 70s that, you know, the householders, they would still do lots of service. And this is a major anxiety for me. If, you know, what happens, it seems as if nowadays, you know, when people get married, there's a limited number of positions available here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if, you know, most, I don't know, I mean, maybe I don't want to make offenses to anybody, but it seems as if the service goes down when people get married. They're not able, for whatever reason, you know, they're not able to do that much service. It's specifically as far as preaching is concerned.
Well, you know, marriage generally, you know, doesn't have to, but generally it means, you know, expansion is an act of money and time, and, you know. So, yes, but how does that fit in with your 5-year plan?
Well, I mean, I was thinking, you know, at least, you know, I've been in movement 1 year now, so, you know, I was, you know, if I was, you know, to get married, I was thinking that, you know, I would want to wait at least, you know, another 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm only 23.
Mm-hmm. So in 5 years, you have that goal, and so what you're saying is you'd like to see yourself with your family doing temple service, but you know that generally that doesn't happen.
Well, book distribution specifically.
Mm-hmm.
or some type of, I don't know, maybe I just don't have appreciation for, maybe I think, you know, the distribution is a better service than, you know.
Well, if you can do it, that's very nice. But there's one householder here who's just telling me, Jaguarunga, not this Jaguarunga, but my godbrother Jaguarunga, he was saying how he was temple president of Vrindavan in 77, and was a brahmacharya, and I knew him when he was in L.A., and he wanted to, decide he wanted to get married, so all the sannyasis were on his case, we gotta do that before you just fall down. Maya. So, it doesn't happen like that anymore. So, you know, he went, so Jaguarunga said he went to another householder, one of our godbrothers, who, and he said, hey, look, they told me the same thing. But I went and talked to Prabhupada, so we go talk to Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So he went and presented the thing to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he got on one sannyasi's face, why are you telling him about this? And Prabhupada told him, he said, get a job, support your family, don't take anything from the temple. So he's following those instructions. That was the first instructions he got from Srila Prabhupada. He's following them. Yeah. He takes care of his family. He's got a big family. And he contributes money for, you know, festivals and things like that. Prabhupada gave himself as an example. He said, okay, become Grihastha, but don't disappear. Don't just become independent of the temple in terms that you never go there. He said, I was Grihastha, I lived near the temple, I was going all the time and contributing service and money. But the danger comes, he says, when the householders become independent of the temple and just go off and do their own things. That's the danger. Any lady? How are you, everybody? Did I miss one? Or? Did you? How do you see yourself, you know, in 5 years? What would, you know, whether you like it or not, or what would you like to see, or you know, what?
I would still.
In what circumstances?
The same way, going to the same way.
Okay,
that's nice.
So you live at home and you have like a job and things like that. You go to school. You go to school.
I live in an apartment.
Yeah.
That I get to
live. Okay.
Very good.
Family or.